Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Sawubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all. Hi, I'm Naima Latif. Join me and my co-host Kareem Hamid every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our host. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/the-female-solution.
And grand rising to all who are listening and watching us on the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. And in a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Kareem Hamid. And today we've got our special co-host, Mama Joy.
Grand rising, Coco, yes, indeed. Once a month, but I'm right here.
Absolutely.
And just excited about today's topic and what we're going to discuss in this ongoing situation that men and women have. And must we be so complicated?
Well, you know, yes.
I wonder, I think about that, relationships and this men and women battle. And I can remember once upon a time when you had this battle, even to the tennis matches with King. And,
I remember that, Billie Jean King.
And the guy said, who's the strongest? I mean, what is this about? And it's okay if it's fun, but when it gets serious, that we always in competition and never completing anything, but which we can move away from the table and say, yeah, we agree, and bring some peace of mind and some order and balance to life, then come on, it's time for the real solution for us to be able to walk together, right, in harmony and peace, as you said, but for ourselves and for our family.
Yeah.
So let the competition not begin, let it in, and let completion, the solutions be the objective.
Well, that's the thing. We have got to do something about this ongoing battle between the sexes. It's got to end. And one thing that is just really weighing heavily on my heart is this situation in Iran with the sister that was killed because they said she wasn't wearing her scarf properly. And there are so many places around the world where there is just no respect for women at all. And, you know, the whole idea of the covering and the modesty was supposed to ensure respect for women, especially after a time of war where, you know, things like rape happen. It's horrifying. But then it's gone to the whole other pendulum where now it's just about disregarding you as a human being. And I look at this battle we're going on now, and words trigger a lot of emotions when women are talking about their bodies and the issue of abortion comes up. And so you've got the people who, the religious people saying, well, you're killing babies, that's immoral. And then you got the women saying, well, it's a woman's right to choose what to do with her body. But then I look at what is the reason why anybody would even want an abortion? And usually it comes down to us having a society where women and children aren't taken care of. So if you happen to be pregnant and you don't have money, you know that you're going to have a hard life. People aren't going to help you. You might get shunned. You might get neglected. Your child might suffer. Usually it's economics when people make those kind of decisions. If we would just take care of each other, then those kind of issues wouldn't even arise. If we were more communal in our taking care of our children, regardless of how much money the family had or whether the woman had a husband that was working or whatever the case may be, if we just took care of the children. And then people say, well, you know, sometimes you need an abortion because a woman might get raped. Why are we living in fear of rape? There's something wrong with that. It shouldn't even be an option. Oh, well, I might get raped, so I don't need an abortion. I shouldn't have to fear that. Nobody should. So it's something we got to do. I don't know if it's change the law or change the hearts or change both. But this thing of women living in fear of sexual assault or living like she's got to be a prisoner in her own home because she's got to worry about being assaulted or, you know, all of that, it doesn't make any sense. And there's some kind of underlying hostility that creates this thought. And I'm trying to figure out, do we need to change the law or what do we need to do to change this situation, this war between the sexes, this underlying hostility? I heard a quote the other day. They talked about, you know, men and women fear each other. But it's a different kind of fear. Men fear that women will laugh at them. Women fear that men will kill them. That's pretty heavy. So how do we get back to the joy of living with each other without fear of each other? What do we need to do? Is it a matter of law or a matter of the heart? What do you think?
Well, I tell you, you've raised a number of questions. You're amazing, you know that?
I'm just a reflection of you.
and you flow so effortlessly in what it is that you're speaking without really realizing that that is a divine flow from your heart.
Yeah.
And that is what is missing. The truth of who we are. We are a part of the eternal presence of God. But we have been under man's law and not under God's love. And the books that have come to us have all spoken of women in terms of almost less than. Based on the teachings of this woman called Eve. And I wonder if we really read the book, or read about her. You know, the competition started to me in the beginning, but the completion, that's what I like. I like the completion of God, of the Spirit of God as spoken. He said, let us make man. And, you know, under the teachings of Imam Waladin Muhammad, he said, man means mind. And I believe mind is a better, because God is neither male nor female. And that essence, he said, let us make mind. And making the mind, he said, and the image of us, what, male and female. So to me, when that is spoken, where is our mind? Where's our mind housed? And remember, this was spoken, what? This biblical speaking is over 6,000 years. But he said, let us make mind. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit, because I feel you coming in. That feels good. Mind is housed in the brain. And if we would look at the making of the brain, we'll see that there are two hemispheres, on your left and your right. And it has been tested and shown that this one brain, just like this one presence in our brain, has two different functions. One is more creative, and the other one is a structure. And they are identified scientifically as male side of the brain and the female side of the brain. And to actually find science agreeing with the spiritual world, hello, doesn't that say that science is kind of connecting with us? Because it's showing the evidence that is within our own mind, that divine. But yet we go by the laws of man. And because law, there is no love in law.
Mm.
There's no love. You know, I was speaking to someone the other day. Yeah, actually, yesterday and day before. Because they were saying, you know, we need more laws. I said, no, we need more love.
Yes.
And we need more understanding. And we need more teachings about who we are. We are the evidence of God's love, and then the law tells us that how we feel and how we dress is lustful. That young lady, Amini, in Iran, she died because they beat her till she was unconscious, and she died because of a hair scarf. Come on, please. Because the law says this. The law. We need not only to look into the law, but Naima, it's time for us to be able to find ourselves in the law. And if we cannot find ourselves in the law, then we must be able to come to the table and let the law be inclusive of us. This is going on even with Elizabeth Cady Stanton. She wrote the Women's Bible in the 1800s. And she said this, she says, look, you all are teaching that God is a male. She says, but the Bible, she says, it's with us too. We are included in this.
Yes. Absolutely.
Even here, I mean, come on, we have to look at our history and see how man's law at a time that when the Europeans came from their motherland over here, they brought a lot of their practices.
Yes.
Even the woman was not even able to take ownership of their own inheritance.
Absolutely.
And when they got married, they had to turn over their dowry to their husband.
Yes, yes. I mean, this has been such a long-time practice of just negating our adulthood.
Negating it. And I told him,
into adults to take care of ourselves.
Well, look, if you don't know that you are a part of the divinity and you are representation of the feminine essence of God, we are females with our breast, the vagina, our hips, our curves. All of this was masterfully put together so that we could represent that which we cannot see.
Absolutely.
We are the evidence.
We are the evidence.
Our structure and the way the world was, Naima, we couldn't plow the fields and all this. Not all of us. So many of us lost our lives just trying to keep up with men because we have the baby, we back out in the field.
And then
men felt that they had to have a woman. They looked at us as a factory to produce the baby, to take care of the farm. But there was no love. There was no love. There was not even any love, even in the genesis of Adam and so-called Eve. And I said, there was no love. There was no appreciation. Tell me why.
Absolutely.
Because we look at each other from the physical all the time. But it's very simple. We are the essence of God. And as long as women don't know who they are, I went to the Social Security office in 1968. A very short story. My doctor told me, said, look, you can't work anymore. The baby's getting bigger, your legs are skinny, and you can't hold your baby. So you go to the Social Security and tell them that you want to take off and you'll be back to work in a few months. Well, see, I didn't know any better. I went to the Social Security department. And the lady, and I was in a line. But the first thing I noticed was that I didn't see any women. And then finally I saw a couple of ladies somewhere in the back someplace. But 99% of present there were men. I finally get to the desk, Naima, and listeners. And this is a fact. In 1968, I told the woman at the desk why I was there and what my doctor said. And she said, well, why did you come here? I said, well, my doctor said I paid into Social Security, and I can get support because I'm not able to work. She says, and why do you think you can do that? And so I'm standing here looking silly. The men snickering at me now because she's talking loud, getting the attention. And she says, I said, well, because I've got to take care of myself and my baby. She says, are you trying to tell me that you're head of a household? I said, that's what. I'm head of the household. She says, you're not head of the household.
Ooh.
And I said, yes, I am. At this time now. I said, well, what are you saying to me? She says, you are not. And I said, yes, I am. And then she asked me, can you read? And
ooh.
I said, yeah. Now, this is a woman standing to another woman. I'm pregnant. And at this time, she's calling me, and I'm looking like I'm shrinking.
Wow.
With these questions, because you're disputing what I'm saying, who I am. And then she says, read this. And what does this say about head of the household? And the words were, head of the household was a male.
Oh, you had to be a male. You know what? We gotta look at that, because that's a whole lot of heads of households that are not male today. Wow.
Something someone told me, this is what I experienced.
Wow.
And the woman told me to read it. And she said, you don't qualify because you are not. But I am. And she said, you are not. She said, you go to welfare.
Ooh, wow. Well, you know what? We got to take a quick break, because we're going to bring our co-host, Kareem Hamid, and the American 360 family on to hear this, because we got to talk about this situation.
Yeah, well, right.
So we'll be right back after this quick break. You stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be
in
a moment. So just stay with us. And why don't you give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 when you're ready to speak and speak your peace. Speak your mind.
Thank you.
Add to this conversation. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters.
Every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and of course, black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not to use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex.
Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're Three Black Moms.
Follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
And we are back, and I believe we've got our co-host and our American Muslim 360 family on the line.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Yeah.
Are you with us? Yes, I believe they checked your mute.
Yeah, probably yeah. So.
So we definitely want to have, you know, and we want men to call in on this, 515-605-9325. Next week we'll be having our men-only discussion, and we always have some very...
Unmuted.
Yes, and we've got them now, yes.
Wow.
So... Yes, I do believe we are on with our American Muslim 360 family and our co-host, Kareem Hamid, and we are looking forward to talking about this issue, this ongoing battle between the sexes, but we got to deal with what has to change in order to change the mindset. Do we need to change the legal system and create some laws, or do we need to change the heart just to ensure respect for the wombs of women? And of course, you know that quote, Brother Green, reverence the wombs that bore you. Well, we are dealing with a lot of disrespect of the wombs of women, of the identities of women, of the adulthood of women. And so many cultures around the world still don't acknowledge women as equal citizens. And equal doesn't mean we can both, you know, bench press 250 pounds. Equal means that both of us are given regards to our rights and needs and feelings and adequate care and respect. And we're in the beginning of the show, we talked about the fact that women are having to live in fear of things like rape and incest, and even the whole abortion issue is about, well, what if she gets raped? Well, why are we even putting that out there? That could happen. Why? Where did this hostility come from? Something has to change. How do we change it in the heart so that we are not living in fear? As it said, men fear that women will laugh at them. Women fear that men will kill them. There's something wrong with that. What is missing in our understanding of each other's humanity, and how do we instill that so that we can end this war between the sexes? It doesn't make sense, and it's not happening in any other species other than humanity. So, Brother Kareem, welcome to the show, and thank you for joining us and all in our American Muslim 360 family. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, wa alaikum assalam, Naima. Praise be to Almighty God. You know, prior to your coming on the air, I had opened up the broadcast here asking what were some of the concerns that the females on the line would like to express. You know, since this is the female solution.
Mm-hmm.
And Martha Nyla expressed how she can remember hearing 20 years ago the desire for women to, many of them were focused on their careers, mm-hmm. on their careers, and that they did not want a man in their life, but they wanted a child, with the desire to have something that would love them unconditionally. And that desire was to have a child so that the child would give them what they desire, unconditional love. And but in that desire, of unconditional love, we pointed to what about the child itself? What about the child itself? A child needs the necessary ingredients to be fully functional, to be fully a full human being. And the female has attributes that is necessary, and the male has attributes that they will instill in the child so that the child lives a full, healthy life. Now, when we say the wombs that bore us, of course, naturally, we think of the female womb. We think of the female womb that where the child is placed to be developed into from a fetus to a functioning human being. That's the first level. But there is or higher levels of interpreting the womb. The womb is a place where life is developed, where life is developed and nurtured and evolved into a full functioning human entity. So that womb can be the womb of the male and the female that is nurturing that life, that is putting the necessary ingredients, the love, the care, to produce a healthy human being. That is a womb also. The male and female environment is a womb for nurturing life. Now, as far as the devaluation of females, you know, that's a subject matter that's been needed to be spoken to for centuries now, because in some scripture, in some religious doctrine, it was stated that a woman did not have a soul.
Ooh.
The female is an afterthought.
Thank you.
That first God created the male, and the male had to tell the creator, I'm lonely. He had to tell the creator something that the creator supposedly didn't know. And that the creator put the man into a deep sleep, opened up his chest, took a rib from the male body, and formed a female from out of the interior of the male. Now, that is a second class, that is a demeaning description of womanhood, that she is an afterthought. And she's only meeting, she's only there because the man says, I'm lonely.
Yeah,
so we
I'm
must
bored.
Look
something to do.
That far back and dismantle that errant idea, dismantle that type of doctrine that the woman, that the female is an afterthought. No, when God created Adam, Adam is identified as male and female. Made he them, plural, made he them, Adam, male and female. So we have to clear up the errant scriptures that have formed our values, that formed our value system and how we value a thing. So I suggest that we begin there, in cleaning up what we have been taught by way of values, coming from a spiritual perspective. You can't legislate morality.
Thank you.
We can vote all we want, but a per person's heart and mind has to be changed. Whatever you give your heart to, that is what you become.
Mm.
So by way of spirituality and religion, we give our hearts to spirituality and to religion. The religion has to be cleaned up. We can't just brush this aside. It's too important that the female is an afterthought. She's a prototype that was born from the rib of the male. We have,
you know, Brother Kareem. You know, Brother Kareem, it's a big challenge when you seek to change what people have been verifying in their school systems and religious institutions for centuries. People who've gone to the seminary and they've got their religious degree, their, you know, doctorate, what was the doctorate you get, or the degree you get when you become a reverend or pastor or whatever the designation is. And you've got to study all of these things and then teach these things. And every month I participate in a religious dialogue hosted by the Global Peace Organization, HWPL, which stands for Heavenly Culture, World Peace, Restoration of Life. And we have all of these people from various religions, and we'll discuss a particular topic and, you know, how your scripture addresses it. You know, the last couple of times we talked about death, you know, we talked about various things like, you know, the identity of God and the nature of God, all these kinds of things. And at some point, I'm hoping we'll talk about the role of women in your scriptures, because that's one of the things that just has been throughout history. Women have been beat down. And I agree, that kind of a teaching that a woman is an afterthought, I mean, you think about it, it doesn't make any sense. Everything in nature is male and female. So what, did God put everything to sleep, every male version of everything to sleep and take a rib? I mean, come on now, you know, horses, cows, sheep, birds, bees, everything is male and female. So why are we the only ones that we weren't male and female from the get-go? That doesn't make any sense at all. And
yeah,
yet,
we have choices.
Yes.
We have choice.
Yes.
We have choices, and we observe things from the physical. And the whole thing is, oh, and Brother Kareem, thank you so very, very much. Because that is where either the correction or the completion is done. But I've been led to believe that men's time and authority of the spirituality has really ended. And when you feel something in the spirit, I think it's a lot of fear. And I'm speaking not against men, but just the reality of the cycle, because now we're looking at this kind of chaos is global.
Mm-hmm.
This kind of attitude about women is global. And when you get to that point, then you are not just fighting against yourself. You are actually fighting God.
Ooh.
Because when you look at the divinity that is in women, and the divine mind and the divine idea of God, she is part of the completion of the Godhead. That has not been brought out. Literally, we have been omitted. Our words do matter. Our thoughts, that we do not know who we are in that divinity. And I agree with Brother Kareem. There is a need for a book, but a book that women and the womb of mother, the value of the mother, the value of the womb is now the New Testament. Because we, you know, when we think about God, it's a living word. It's always moving. And so it's time for a new word.
Mm.
We can hold what has been, leave that intact, but something new is coming.
So,
and it's to protect us all.
So do
our
we,
stories have not been told. You know, I purchased this book, what is it, The Bible Women, and it tells us that 15% of the characters in the book are women, 85% are male. 50% of them do not even have a name.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you say so-and-so took a wife, they don't even bother to say who she was. They'll say who our children were. But I'm just reading through it. It's like, you mean who she is doesn't matter? You know, and that's...
I can't find me there. Yeah. I have to search hard to find me.
Yeah.
If the book, it does not have me in it. That means that I have not been included in the process of this whole world.
Yeah,
so,
you don't matter. You know,
but I do matter because the humanity came from the womb of the
right,
woman.
Right.
And so we got to get. I agree with Brother Kareem and anyone. We can see that, as you say, we cannot continue with this. The story is done. What can we extract from that and build on it? Just like you had from the Genesis and you had the Old Testament. Well, actually, the first five books were really the Hebraic, and Moses wrote those things out, script that out. And then you have that, and then you've got from Joshua on to the rest of the Old Testament. It was a gradient. If we could look at the scriptures that has been written as gradients, and then Jesus came, okay? He brought us the Father. Again, when he ended, then Paul and Peter took it, a gradient. It's been climbing. But in each level, the women have not been included that in a way of authority. And even the book here in America, where's America's story? Not to condemn her, but to show how errors come about and where this whole country went apart. The North and the South. We don't tell the whole stories. We don't tell the stories. And we are here. And the ones who suffer the most is the women and the children.
That's because we're not the ones telling the story.
And that's it. So it's a time for us to dig deeper to ourselves and stand firm as the solution. Women as the solution is not against men, but to complete them. To complete the head, the Godhead at the beginning. Completing it.
Well, you know.
But we're going to continue colliding until we understand that we're to learn how to be partners.
Well, that's the challenge that we have. And the question is, do we look at the books that have been ingrained as the word of God and do some reinterpretations? Or do we toss them all, or do we just change the hearts, and then maybe when the hearts change, then they will automatically see a different interpretation? But we've got centuries.
Wayne Dyer.
Let me say this:
the things when you look at things, the things you look at change.
Change the way you look at things.
Let me say this. Pardon me. The Quran is a further explanation and a correction of what has been given to us that came before. Like you heard me, one of my statements concerning the valued role of the male and female together, I'm drawing from the Quran. If you agree with my earlier statements, if we don't need yes, we can write books, but the correction comes from the word of Almighty God. It corrects the misnomers and the scriptures that came before. It affirms and corrects what is from God and what is not. So I suggest an in-depth, not just a reading of the Quran, but a study of the Quran to correct these misnomers, these value systems that have crept into our lives. This is from the creator of all the systems of knowledge, from the creator of all of us. God makes the correction, not me, not from someone else's thinking, but look to the word of God. The correction is found in the Quran. It is found there. It is there.
We got to take a quick break. We got to take a quick break, Brother Kareem. But when we come back, mm-hmm. I want to really take a look at the Holy Quran. And has it, in fact, suffered the same fate of misinterpretation in the way that is denigrating to women? And what has happened in many of the majority Muslim countries that women are in a state of oppression, even with a book that was meant to correct the misteachings that denigrated women? What happened? I want to talk about that when we come back. We're going
to
take a quick break.
I want to also hear from a Muslim woman. We have one here on the studio board.
Well, let's
let if we are going
we
to
speak.
Discuss that,
absolutely.
We need to hear from a educated, well-rounded Muslim woman. And when we come back, let's hear from her. Praise be to Allah. Thank you.
Absolutely. Looking forward to hearing that voice. We'll be right back after this quick break. We'll share some thoughts from our Facebook family. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325 or 515-605-9891. Make sure you press 1 so that we can open your mic and get your thoughts. And we'll be right back after this quick break. So stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Ayn Lizzie. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world. Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
What if you could live to be 120 years old and remain active, healthy, alert, and vibrant? Our bodies are made up of cells that are constantly rejuvenating. So if we take proper care of our cells, we can literally defy aging. Join us every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time to learn about cell care from Susan Essentials on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show. Learn how to help your body and your cells feel rejuvenated each day through proper nutrition, sleep, frequency medicine, and many unconventional methods of self-care. I'm Jody Susan. Join me and my amazing guests by calling in at 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. We'll help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 community. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down-to-earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul. Whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, Go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif. We've got our special co-host, Mama Joy, with us. And, of course, we've got our co-host, Kareem Hamid, and our American Muslim 360 family joining us on this Wednesday morning as we talk about that topic, which continues to plague us as a human family. What do we need to do to end this war between the sexes? Is it a matter of law or is it a matter of heart? What needs to change? We've got some callers on the switchboard that want to weigh in, and we've got some folks on the other switchboard that want to weigh in as well. And we want to hear from you. Give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1, or 515-605-9891, and press 1. So I want to just read this short thing here about what happened for those who may not have been following, even though it's been all over the world news. And it's all about how Mahsa Amini's death in Iran, it sparked widespread protests. Mahsa Amini's death in Iran, in Iranian police custody, sparked widespread protests when Mahsa Amini, age 22-year-old Mahsa Amini, died several days after she was arrested in Tehran by the country's morality police for violating hijab laws. Her death has sparked outrage and protests across the country. It leads to Iranian women who are burning their hijabs. And, of course, the hijab is the scarf that women wear that covers all of their hair. It goes under their chin. All you see is their face. And this article says, Iranian women are burning their hijabs and cutting their hair short in protest over the death of Mahsa Amini, a young woman who died after being arrested in Tehran by Iran's notorious morality police, who enforced the country's rules on hijabs and other conservative Islamic modes of dress and behavior. Here's what we know so far about Amini's death and the public furor it ignited and the questions that remain. Mahsa Amini was arrested for allegedly breaking the hijab rules. She died in northern Tehran. She had been arrested and reportedly was taken to a hospital shortly afterwards. She suffered multiple blows to the head before she died, according to London-based broadcaster Iran International. She was arrested in her brother's car during a visit to see family members in the capital, the outlet reported. She was originally from Saqqez in Kurdistan province. Her father said she was beaten to death in custody. Mahsa Amini's family says that officers beat her in the police van after her arrest, citing eyewitnesses who supported that claim. Police reject the allegation, saying that Mahsa Amini died after being taken to a hospital because she had a heart attack. So this is the situation, and women are outraged. Now, the whole history, and we'll have Sister Martha Nyla give us some commentary on this. The whole issue of hijab, you know, of course, the sign of modesty, covering the hair, part of the Muslim dress style. But the fact that she
the fact that you have police enforcing something, that's number one, enforcing what women wear to the point of death. And number two, what is the history of it? Well, we know that there's been a history of abuse of women throughout the region, Arab culture, and they're not the only ones. But the idea is that modest dress is supposed to prevent you from being violated in the minds of men who are looking at your body in a way that is inappropriate if they're not someone you intend to be intimate with. So it's to kind of curtail that over-sexualization of women. That's the intention. So how did it get to this point where a suggestive way of keeping yourself from other people's unwanted stares becomes a means where now you are killed if you show your hair? So I want to hear from Sister Martha Nyla on this, because this is a real sore spot, and yes, we got to talk about how to deal with it.
Well, I want to express how this is being presented to the world. The protest is not just coming from women. There is protest across the country, and it is coming from males and females. It's not just the women protesting this. It is a significant number of men in Iran that are in the streets protesting what happened to this young lady. So that's one way that we, how they couch a thing will perpetuate the so-called war between the male and female. There are men in Iran in the streets risking their lives protesting against the behavior of the so-called moral police. So I wanted to give balance to this. I'm going to open up the mic of Martha Naila Abdullah, the executive director of the Community Wise Shura Conference, and hear her perspective on this. Let me make a correction. It is not the issue of hijab. Hijab only means a partition. It is the article of clothing, kimar, the head covering, not hijab. So, okay, let's hear from Martha Nyla on this subject matter. Assalamu alaikum, Martha Nyla Abdullah.
Alaykum assalam, God's peace be upon you, Kareem and Naima and all of our listeners and the co-hosts. Forgive me, I'm drawing a blank here, but everyone who's listening now and later, I'm calling from St. Petersburg, Florida, and it gives me great honor as I seek refuge with all my God from the shaitan. So much is leaping out from my mind corners, but I want to go right to the beginning as we reference, and we can have this later, but I'm going to mention the word in the beginning, the word. And the word, is when we think of the male-female, it is only an expression of the unseen, and that's the masculine and the feminine. I say unseen. So the word is in a masculine operation entering, and the reception of that word is a feminine operation. Just taking it from there, then we can see how the word, when it enters, is supposed to have a good expression, a good entrance, and a good expression outward. So that's the masculine and feminine operation. It's operating all universally, however we go. But now when we get down to the materialization of male and female, then we're looking at the anatomy that gives us direction or indication. And then when we go to man and woman, then we elevate it into beyond the male and female, but operating still on the masculine and feminine principles. And the man and woman now is intended to be an expression of intelligence. I believe here now is, instead of us evolving continually with an intelligent situation operating all the time,
we're going backwards. So the degrading process that happened just recently with dear sister, may Allah be pleased with her, grant her high station in paradise, forgive her errors. But for those who are trying to legislate morals, you cannot do it. We tried it here in this country. We tried in England with the guillotine of women and are imprisoning them. So he said the hijab is a covering, is a wall, but it says from behind the hijab, even the prophet received the message. So they're speaking to that unseen area of receiving the message. And I want to keep it at the word being our direction. How does the word come into fruition and allow us to be intelligent? So there's extremism. That's what has occurred in Iran or wherever injustices are occurring. It's in Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him. Never, never, if we look at his life as an example, as ones who were not even Muslim declared him to be the example for humanity. So we look at that not as his where he was born or what, but operating as a messenger from Almighty God, coming with the word that entered him, into his mind, and then he expressed it physically, actually in his life. We see that, then we'll see that that's the example that everyone is to be looking at, not what others are expressing now. I'll stop right there. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Sister, and I thank you, Brother Kareem, for pointing out that in this protest, it's not just women. Just like it's important for the world to know, when George Floyd was murdered, it was not just black people protesting. Everybody who saw the injustice was outraged. So when humanity as a whole rises up against an injustice, that's when it changes. So it's good to know that men's hearts were touched by the death of this sister who was obviously abused in police custody. But I wanna address this thought. The idea that women must constantly feel fear of men violating them. There's something wrong with that. And when I was doing research for the book, The Female Solution, and I came across the research regarding rape, and there are only two species on the entire planet that commits forcible sexual intercourse known as rape, and that is human beings and chimpanzees. No one else does that.
Mm-hmm.
In every species on the planet, the process of mating, of reproduction, or simply bonding physically is done as an act of love, never an act of force. So what has become twisted in us as a species that we would violate the female of the species, and not just females, because there are men who get raped. So what about the sex act has been twisted in us that we have used it as an act of abuse, whereas anyone needs fear that their body will be violated? That's the question that I have. I understand that the thought is that women should cover their beauty, their sexuality, their alluringness, so that men will not be attracted. But my question is, what is inside a man where he could violate someone simply because he finds them attractive and is sexually aroused? That's something that in the heart, that you could violate someone without regard to their feelings, their soul, their humanity, because it gives you physical pleasure. And we know that rape really isn't about physical pleasure. It's about power over someone, which is why this sister could be killed
by the so-called morality police because they were trying to enforce power over women. They were making a statement, just like George Floyd being murdered before our eyes, strangled to death. It was a show of power. It had nothing to do with enforcing law or him having a counterfeit bill, none of that. So we know when people do heinous acts toward each other, that is a spiritual malady. My question is, how is it that rape has been for so long somehow the woman's fault, or she provoked it, or she shouldn't have been showing her body, or, well, you know, we as men, we know we can't control ourselves, when every other species on the planet, other than chimpanzees, respects the act of intimacy? Why is that? And either anybody can answer that question, or I'll give you a moment to ponder it as I bring in some comments from our Facebook page. We've got our sister Jody Sasson says, grand rising, wise souls. And she says, yes, wow, time to recreate with our co-creator. And she says, oh, and Viata says, grand rising, queens. And Viata says, parents play a role in teaching girls and boys proper sexual behavior. Now, that statement I want to key in on because, and Kareem, you know that you all have said this on the men-only discussions, what you learn from older men, you know, go out and get a girl, however, it doesn't matter if you had to lie to her or whatever, the whole thing is to get sex. And you don't think about what impact that's having on her soul when she finds out there was no love in that, you know, and she shared her body and then maybe been ridiculed or whatever. And no one thinks about that. So what is it that we're teaching our children that allow this culture of rape to have been global? And when religions address it, it's always the woman's fault if she's attractive. Something's wrong with that thinking. So I want to hear a response on that.
Okay, it is not just the woman that dressed modestly. As men, there is a dress code for male modesty. There is a dress code for that. It's only in rare occasions that men expose their chest. Let's say someone is working outside. Their lower covering is covered from the navel to just below the knee. And those pants should be such a flare whereby you can grab a handful of material, not real tight. So there is a dress code. Now, let me refer to the word of Almighty God when we ask these questions. Allah says in the Quran, Fi aksana takwim. Radatnaha asfala safidin. That God has created the human being in the most excellent mold or the most excellent form, but that the human being can devolve to the lowest of the low, to the lowest of the low. So there is that level as human beings that we can sink to. Some of the lowest of the, although we are created in the best form, in the best mold, the best form, the human being, there is the possibility of the human being devolving to the lower, to even sleep with an animal, have sex with an animal, bestiality. The human being can sink to that level of depravity, you know. So this is universal. We are not created. The races are not born. Criminals are not born.
Absolutely.
It is this world that we enter into. Right. It is this world that we enter into, the influence, that have an influence over, we are malleable. We can be impressed upon, imprinted, shaped, even deformed to sink to the lowest of the low, the lowest of the low. So human beings have that free will to sink to the lowest of the low. And it's not just, praise be to God, I have to keep this balance. It's not just men that rape women. There are women that rape young boys. There are women that rape, let me say this again, there are women that rape young boys. And that there has a very detrimental effect on them. So our desires, unchecked by correct knowledge, our desires can go to an extreme without the proper guidance, without the correct knowledge as to how to discipline our five senses and our appetite. God educates the soul as to its right and its wrong, but we are in a world that has been influenced by the enemy of mankind. We have to be aware of that we're in an environment that has been influenced by the enemy of humanity, and that the name, he has many names. It is Shaitan in the Quranic language. It is Satan in English. He has many names. So the human being can be influenced. We are made from clay, impressionable. And when we're in this environment, everywhere you look, it is sexualized. Television, you name it. You can find the hint of sexual, of depraved sexuality in subliminal messages that affect and mold us.
So I have a question.
Save us.
I have a question based on this history of how we have been depraved, and the fact that we, only humanity and chimpanzees, perform the act of rape, which is definitely a misuse of sexuality. And we, as you said, we've been made in the best form. We can, through our own free will, rise to the highest heights of spirituality or the lowest depths of depravity. It's our free will to choose.
Mm-hmm.
So what are we teaching about sexuality that's incorrect? The reason why we continue to sink to the depths of depravity, we must be teaching something incorrect about this very powerful bonding that can occur between male and female. It's a spiritual bond. And yet we weaponized it in such a way that we have to fear our bodies being violated, whether it's by a male or a female. And I understand what you're saying about the dress code, but in fact, there are societies that practice more respect between the sexes, and they wear little more than a loincloth.
That's right.
So it isn't the clothing. It's the thought. It's the mind. It's the level of respect for the body, for the vessel of the soul that this body is, and respect for one's own body. It's something we're not teaching, the reason why we're susceptible to that level of depravity. And, I mean, you have many people who try to do different things. We've got East African communities where they cut off the genitalia of the women because they feel like, well, if women don't have any feelings or any desires, then they won't become promiscuous. You have societies where men supposedly take a vow of celibacy in the Catholic Church, and then what's happened with that? Okay, they're not around women, but how many stories that we got about priests molesting boys. So they're still being depraved, and this pedophilia is the worst thing you can do. You've destroyed a child. So people are trying various things, and you know, and now you've got, you know, societies where they say, well, the women just cover themselves up, and if you don't say anything about their eyes, then we won't have any sexual violations. Well, the rape still occurred in those societies, and they just don't talk about it. So women just go home and be traumatized and don't tell anybody. But it's happening. So the clothing is not protecting. It's something in the heart that has to be transformed. It's not the clothes. It's something in the heart. And what do we need to be teaching?
Because that is the issue. It is not the physical. It's something that is within us and how we have been taught. And that,
one about
one of the things is that we have been omitted. The heart of the woman has been omitted. The female heart of God has been omitted. And when women can understand, at least I'm becoming into an understanding that I am representative and females are representative of the female essence of God. And when we have been omitted, and listen to this, hear me clearly, legally, we're in a legal system, as I told my story earlier, that I went to the Social Security office, and the woman told me I was not who I was, or who I am, because of a written word.
Yeah, you can't be head of household, you're female.
and that was the law. That was the law. And that is the same situation is that when these bad partners of religion and politics come in, you have to be careful. Whose eyes are you looking through? At yourself.
Mm.
Another situation, I had my husband to rape me and to beat me. And then when I went to the police for the protection, he told me, your husband can't rape you.
You're his property.
He paid for it, and he get it whenever he wants to. And I've never heard that before. Again, politics and religion, that is from another heart that does not include me or value me.
Mm.
And when I said, my God, I said, he just paid $12 for a license. I was beaten on the steps of the court.
Wow.
When I came out where this man had beaten me, my husband, he was my husband, but he had, and I'm saying this because when we discuss things, discuss it in a bigger picture of those things and that are in place, that are put in place to keep that kind of mind operating.
Mm.
You see, we're discussing the dress. We're discussing the, what about the mind frame of having some self-discipline when you know you have cultures with very little clothing on, and yet they don't perform these kind of things. They don't do this. But I was beat on the court steps, and the mother and the father's mother and father, my mother-in-law, they were saying, He's killing her because he beat my head up against the concrete.
Oh, no.
The police comes in the car. And his mother and father screaming, help her. He's killing her out here. And the police gets out of the car. He pulls out his gun, and he stabilizes his gun on the door. A click. My husband at the time, he said this, officer, I'll never forget it, is my wife. The officer said, that's your wife. And he said, ma'am, is that your husband? And I said, yes. He put his gun down, uncocked it, put it in his holster, and tipped his hat.
Woo!
And got back into the car.
All right. You got my blood boiling now.
We are talking about constraints and principalities that are in place, and there are laws that are sustaining these, and it is there. To discuss dress, and that's fine, but these are the evidence of something far deeper. What is not only in our hearts, But what is containing us from not even allowing our hearts to express the best of who we are, or stand for what we are and who we are? We can't do it until we're clear, Naima, about who we are in the divine mind of God. No, you know, no religion has all the answers. No more than the North or the South or the East or the West. This country is so huge, and there are all kinds of laws going on all over. We've got men and women in prison now for, what is it, marijuana? And now we've got people making millions because it's legal. What kind of law is this that says you are and you are not, and they can just make a law, and you just dance to that? When I was coming up, Naima, and I'm going to close this, because one of the things that we're discussing, and we do not participate very well in, we allow the top to come and tell us what to do. But when I was a child, we, in the South, we had a platform, and the people in the neighborhood come together and discuss what their concerns were. We took it to the schoolhouse, where the counselor would come to us, because in New Orleans and Louisiana, we don't have counties. We're parishes, and the church was basically our place. And we would have our platform, and our candidate, whoever was running for office, would have to address our concerns, even to the president. We did this. When was the last time we heard of anyone coming to the table down on the ground root level? We get upset when we hear the LGBT community. They put money up, and they got their platform. Where's our platform? We do not understand the power of the law and how it impacts us, and we don't know. We just don't know. We just remain ignorant. No one has it all.
Well, let's talk about. We got to take a break, but let's talk about the fear of change, because when women,
the law is in place, and they're afraid to give up the power or even share the power.
So is it about power? And it sounds like it is. What is the fear? Because as you said, we are moving toward an equality that many are resisting, whether it's racial, gender, every kind of equality, religious, everything that was unjust is being dismantled. But first it's being exposed. And when something horrible happens, it's to call our attention to it. This woman's death was to wake up women about this centuries-old war between the sexes that must end, and we got to get to the root of it.
We have to
root it out. So we're going to come back and talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
But we got callers on the line. I want to take some calls. I know everybody's chomping at the bit to say what they got to say. So we got four callers on this switchboard, Brother Kramer. I know you probably got some callers on your switchboard. So we're going to open up the phone lines, taking this order, 706-202-779-801, 773-450, and 872-901. So hold on. We're going to be right back after this quick break. We want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, along with Kareem Hamid and Mama Joy, talking about ending
don't
that war between
us. Your respect for the wounds of women.
Absolutely. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
To Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time, and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn it into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Our kids are the future and should not be left behind. One person should not decide what is the best for our 77 communities. Politicians must work together for our kids' best interests. They deserve a safe education with resources that meet every student need. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. Should we change the law to ensure respect for the wombs of women? Well, let's go to our phone lines. I believe we've got our American Muslim 360 family back on the line. Let's go to 706-202 Grand Rising. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your thoughts.
Assalamu alaikum and greetings to Mama D. And this is Brother Kwame. Yeah. I sit here in the stolen lands of the Muscogee Creek Nation in Edenton, Georgia. Can you hear me?
Kwame, okay, Sunhorse of Georgia.
Right. And I'm enjoying this show, and I've yet to hear, you know, we're talking about the womb, and we as a planet come from the cosmic womb. And this Mother Earth is part of the Creator's spacing to put us along with all the other planets in our solar system. The energies of consciousness that make up this planet. And it's called Mother Earth because the mother is the book. Man had to write the book because she is the life giver. She comes with the knowledge of bringing forth new life and how to nurture that instinctively. It's called mother tongue. It's not called father tongue. And so what we're listening to is this story that man's fear of not being the power of what woman has been given, creative source. Because even when you look at, you know, looking at Islam, there's a book called Yoni, the sacred symbol of female creative power. And they talk about a lot because we hear about the prophet, the peace be unto the prophet Muhammad. But the part of it is that there was a worship that women did in the nude when the black stone, when the meteor hit the earth. And in turn, they worshiped And what he did was is he took that and he changed it and got rid of the idols, but he put that into what they go around the Kaaba in Mecca. That is where that black stone is. And what it was written by Dave Ben Herod and Belial was the Quran. You look at Abraham, the books that were written, the five books, somebody spoke about it, the five books of the Bible were written by males, but the first 42 laws that were given to people in the land of Kemet were by a woman called Maat. Even when you look at the Gnostic teaching, they talk about the Pistis Sophia gave Zoe the power to come to the earth and form man from the earth and remove the plugs from his nostrils. And when he opened his eyes and took breath, he says, woman, you are the breath of my life. Every child that comes through the birth canal has to have the nostrils removed. And the cry is that the mother is the breath of life. Because we all come from a woman. Man has rewritten stories, rewritten law, because he goes against the natural law of nature. There's a cosmic law, there's universal law, and there is man wrote law to go against his fear of his mother.
Fear. So that gets my question is, what is the origins of that fear? Well, hold that thought, Brother Kwame. We're going to take a few more calls because
there's something missing, that's for sure.
So you have a caller on your switchboard, Brother Kareem?
Yes.
Okay, we'll take your caller and then we'll go to 779 after
the female solution. 724-866, welcome to the female solution. 724-866, take your phone off of mute. Okay, we won't.
Well, we'll go back to them. Well, let me open the mic for 779-801. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your thoughts.
Grand Rising, this is Maika, and assalamu alaikum to those Muslims present. Can you hear me?
Grand Rising, Maika.
I'm Grand Rising to the Christians that are with us.
I don't consider myself a Christian. I consider myself a Christ-minded person. And I want to start off by saying...
Christ-minded person.
When you made a statement in the beginning about legislating and protecting and the womb, but you also included the feelings of women. And I want to say that feelings cannot be legislated and protected. That is not possible. And then, Brother Kareem, you stated a version of the Holy Bible that is you took out a lot. But in Genesis, it clearly says, in the beginning, God created man. Male and female created he, and breathed into man, male and female, the breath of life, and man, male, female, became a living soul. So in that, a woman is a soul. A woman is not soulless. Now, the rib thing, I think that's something else we can talk about later. But it's obvious that that's not real because there's no rib that's missing out of a male. We have the same rib structure. So there are a lot of things that we have to correct in ourselves and in even those things that we call the living word of God. Also, Naima, you said there are only two species that rape. Excuse me. Humans and chimpanzees. I recently saw a herded animal attempt to rape a female. I don't remember where. I'm going to go back and look at it. It was on one of the Netflix programs about, I think it's the one that Obama does, on nature or something like that. But I'm going to check it out. I'll get back to you on that. And then, Naima, you said pedophilia is the worst thing because you you can do because you destroyed a child. I disagree with that. I think murder is the worst thing that can be done because in that you destroy a life which you cannot bring back. The child can be healed, but the life cannot be returned. So I just wanted to share those two things and those few things. And also, I think it should not be that the womb of women should be protected, but the eggs of women should be protected. From the time a little girl is 3 months old, she has eggs, and those eggs go through trauma, and those traumas show up in the children that she has later on in life. Well, those eggs need to be protected. She don't need to be going through no trauma. The trauma has to be taken out of her life, whether it's violence in the home, whether it's violence in the street, wherever it is, those eggs need to be protected.
I agree.
It's unfortunate that women are in the street right now trying to legislate their feelings in terms of their feelings and usher in and say that the highest and most important thing for women is the right to destroy the lives of unborn children. Unborn fetuses. That's sacrilege. That's just ignorance. And women need to step up to the plate and become responsible. If you're not responsible, you're not going to be taken serious. And so women aren't taken serious. And I discovered a new sickness. It's called colitis. That I did just the other day when me and the Lord were speaking. And the Lord said, consider how young boys feel as they go through elementary school, preschool, elementary school with women instructors. And these women instructors are constantly going through PMS and their menstrual cycles. And they are inflicting their violence during those times on the male and the female children. This is where womanitis shows up. This has to stop. I actually witnessed it one day. That women, when they're on their PMS, they are brutal. They are horrible. I've seen it. You've seen it. I've experienced it, much less than seen it. I've experienced it in my own self, going through PMS and menstrual period before I learned to control those energies. All of those things, everything that women go through can be understood and managed properly, but women have not taken serious knowing themselves as a physical, mental, emotional, and emotional and biological being. This is the problem with women. Women refuse to be scholarly about themselves. They want to be everything but that because they're constantly trying to imitate males. You can't imitate something that you're not and be successful. So that's the problem out here. And it is the cause of war. We have a war is going on. People talk about nuclear war and stuff. Because males and females can't come together because we refuse to be true to who we are and honor and respect each other in the roles that God has given us. I found a scripture recently. I'm going through something in my life, and it says, and I just want to read this scripture, and then I'm going to end. It says, "Hear, O heaven. And give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. Children I have reared have rebelled against me." Isaiah 1:2. But that's going on in my life and so many other lives. My children have rebelled against me. And I was happy to hear the scripture because I'm not just sitting by myself. I realize God got the same problem. Thank you. Y'all have a good
Well, thank you, Micah. We appreciate your word. There are a couple of things that, but I'm going to take another caller, and it will take commentary at the end. Okay, let's go back to your switchboard, and then we'll go back to 773-450.
Okay, error code 706-627. Please state your name and where you're calling from, please.
This is Brother Muhammad from Columbus, Georgia, and thank a lot much for the good information that has been shared here. And then we can go back to the basics. You know, in the final revelation, you know, that those of us who are seeking the clear answer. The most important thing that both genders need to understand, it's like what the sister was talking about there, very, very, very good what she said, but it also goes a little farther. It's based upon how well we support each other regardless of what our gender is. But don't mistake that responsibility of being that gender. But most things is that we are support each other to worship the Creator. You know, it's a constant exchange of fairity, responsibility. That's why the woman is half, you know, as we learned in one of the definitions, you know, of a man's efforts to maintain his faith. You know, she does that also when she's responsible for both genders, you know, in her duties after the fact. You know, but we were both in here, you know, and we know that Adam, you know, had the responsibility since. It's given in different definitions that woman came out of man, however you might want to look at it. But he told her their responsibility, both of them, was to worship on the Creator of both of them, and that would determine their relationship. I have been told that I am the protector and the maintainer of your responsibility of nurturing and cultivating what we are also is another part of our makeup, is to procreate, you know, and have other beings like ourselves, you know, and you are put in a charge of making sure that they are nurtured, they are educated, that there's no God but God, et cetera, et cetera. And these are the things that we have to get back to cooperate with each other on, you know, like we are taught, you know, we are taught to, it all depends upon how well our shura is to remember that we didn't create ourselves, regardless of how we got here. And we came through mercy from the Creator of everything, in which he displayed his ability, you know. So that's what we have to give back. It's very basic. It's not too long. There's not too much elaborating on that. We have to come back to unity, you know, one of these two genders, use that terminology, and remember that our responsibility is to establish a family life based in what creates everything. You know, and then we'll start eliminating a lot of influences from the enemy of that thing, you know, and the people who might be under the influence to do the same thing, to help us divide each other, keep us separated, to keep us competing with each other about a responsibility that is never going to change, just like what you're doing on 360 here. We are to share. We are to share this responsibility of remembrance that there's only one Creator, not us, not somebody else, not man, not woman, and we all are dependent upon what the promise that we want. If we're trying to get to the next world, we have to work together and make sure that those who we leave behind have the same understanding that your destiny depends upon how well you worship together the Creator of you. Just want to say that.
Well, we thank you for your call, my brother, and we've got a comment from our Facebook family, and our Saturday host from Move Around with Deborah said, Grand Rising family, it's good to hear wisdom and lesson plan for all ages. It's never too late to change and evolve.
Amen.
And I think that's what we need to do is change and evolve. I'm sorry, I didn't change the name here. My fault. But I'm going to take a area code 773-450 and hold my comments till the end. 773-450, your mic is open. Go right ahead with your comments on the topic today. 773-450.
Grand Rising is
on.
There you
go. Grand
Rising, how's everybody?
How are you?
All right, my favorite
Fantastic.
Show today. Hey, listen,
right.
You know something that's really crazy. How is it that a man can say, I mean, you see women today and young women, they dress like literally almost sometimes with the see-through stuff. You'll see anything they see. But how does that really drive you emotionally? You know, I mean, taking off all your clothes doesn't hide anything, you know? I had a friend that was a neighbor once, a Muslim woman. She wore all basic Muslim, you know, garb where she had old style with, you know, cover up her head, everything, all the way down to her ankle. And she would tell me about how men would follow her home and be trying to look under the door just to catch a peek of an ankle. So society had crazy. To believe, yeah, they had you to believe you got to take off all your clothes to entice people, but it's the wrong type of directive. Women run things for the most part, but traditional society has men thinking you can grab a woman by the head and say, here we go, we're going to do this, which I don't know where that came from in the first place or the second place. So can you imagine a society that tells women what they can wear and that because they're going to cause trouble? What type of male domination foolishness is that? And how can you survive? Because it would just get a load of this. At the end of the day, they never really accept the fact. But I know society's gotten insane because now they got men marrying men and women marrying women, and so everybody's just confused. They don't even know what the hell they are. It's like non-binary. What the hell is that? I think it's just male and female. Just look at us. We can't be much more than that. But at any rate, what I'm just saying is it's interesting to me that when they go through the whole process, a woman is always the one that takes in the man. So why is she being bullied? She's the one that decides if she wants or if she doesn't want. Men don't bully and boss women. So the whole society of men's strength and taking over women is all backwards. Women, if they put it in its proper place, then women would settle that. They wouldn't have all of this over-sexuality stuff going on. And then the last part, some of it's cultural. Because like Maika was talking about, you got some women marching around here saying we want the right to tell our children and all this foolishness. Some of it's culturally. Because for our people, even if no one wanted the child, they gave it to somebody else. They didn't just kill it. You know, always somebody in the community wants to raise the children. So I think society's got it all backwards. We need to do some vertical consciousness and change this thing.
Well, Obadiah, I agree. A lot of it is cultural. A lot of long-time cultures have maintained their cultural beliefs, and they take that culture and they imprint it on revealed words from our Creator that give us guidance. But because people are holding on to cultures of power over others, they infuse that in the scriptures. So now there is no religion on earth where it is reflecting the love of the Creator. It is reflecting people's need for power and control. And so even quoting words, you're talking about interpretations upon interpretations upon interpretations by people whose hearts are not about love, they're about power. This is why we're having this problem. Because the heart is not really following the love of the Creator. And the intention of religion is not to infuse the love.
To Naima, not only the power, the pain. We don't discuss the pain that the cultures are bringing about.
Right.
And we're also products of the pain because, actually, I'm looking at this discussion, really is something that's really good because, as you said, we're waking up, but there has been pain, and it's unspoken. And what is happening, we're reacting because of the pain that's been in us, that's been repressed.
Yes.
And we don't know what has happened,
yes.
But we have to understand that it's the power and pain, too.
Right. Well, the pain is only inflicted by those who have no compassion. So, again, it comes down to the compassion in the heart. I'm going to open the mic. We've got three other callers, so I'm going to get to all of you, 872-901, 773-984, and 314-677. It can take about a minute for your comments. We're going to try to get everybody in before we close. We did an extra commercial, so I'm not taking the third commercial break because we have other people who want to speak, and I'm going to give you a chance to speak since we did take that earlier commercial break early. 7872901.
Good morning. This is Lois here in Chicago. Good morning
to
all.
Lois, how are you?
How wonderful. You know, I'd like to get to know the lady who was, you know, sharing the information about that no good husband. In the police department.
Oh, Mama Joy, yeah.
Is that Mama Joy?
Yeah.
Mama Joy, I love you.
Yeah,
I love
that's
you.
Mama Joy.
You know, you talk about the pain and being able to share the unspoken pain. I mean, listen, you're the kind of lady I like to talk to, so please give her my number or can I announce
I'll do
my
that.
Number?
No, you may not want the world to call you, so I'll give her your number.
You know what? You know,
yes, some people trust me. You don't want to call
me. When Jesus calls me, I answer my phone for everybody. So please, give her my number. I know I've asked you. I haven't heard her speak like that before. Also, it's not often that ladies will share about their rapes and the mistreatment of men, especially their husbands. You know, and I for one, I join in with her because I married this man in 76 and had a daughter in 77, filed for a divorce in 78, and did not get divorced until March of 1992. One man. Okay. And,
wow.
And the judicial system, you know, they'll give you these orders of protection and what have you. And so when you call the police on the orders of protection, they come in and, to make it short, I have a mark on my arm from 1991 where the police officers came in on my order of protection against my husband, Terrell Jones, and beat me. Okay?
Oh,
beat
my.
And ignored the order of protection. He was a beat watchman or something for the 4th District. And so they had it all tied every time I called them. So it was 1985 that he had done something else to me. The order said, get out of the house, don't touch her, don't rape her, don't interfere with her life, no kind of way. Of 1978, I have that order to this day. Anyway, he abused me with the Chicago Police Department, and I have federal cases to prove it. He had gotten away with beating me, raping me, impregnating me, and everything else, you know. Two children were born, and three were deceased from the treatment that I underwent from 1978 in docket number 78D18840. And they told me, well, I'm sorry, Lois, but there's no law against a husband raping his wife. That was in 1978.
And there was not at that time. I think there's recently been made a law, but there was not a law at that time. And so a woman could be raped by her husband, and the law said, well, he has the right to your body. So, I mean, in this, how many centuries did it take for us to get a law? And that's only in America, because there's still a lot of other countries that don't have that protection.
Well, listen, I moved to California since they weren't going to protect me from this Negro, and he was in my, I'm sorry, everybody, from this man. And by the way, he was a welterweight champion who'd gone downtown on 13th Michigan and swore an order of protection against me, saying I beat him up. You know, so you know, we didn't have any protection in this judicial system. And if these women go into these shelters or what have you, and these men are involved, they're raping them, they're doing things to their children. It's a lot that's going on that people are not talking about. And I'd like to talk some more to Ms. Joy. Ms. Joy?
Yeah. Well, I'll make sure she gets
your
number.
Okay, thank you so much
for
your time.
Thank you so much. Love you, too. Thank you so much for calling. We love our sister Lois. Yeah, that's a rough situation. But that's, again, what state of the heart. Let's go to 773-984 and then 314-677. I got your area code right. 314-677, you're the last one on our switchboard. 773-984, you got about a minute to give us your thoughts. Go right ahead.
Grand Rising.
Grand Rising? Yes. You're loud and clear. Go right ahead.
Assalamu alaikum, Mrs. Rashida. I have a question I need to ask. I'd like to ask Brother Kareem a question. Because it's really bothering me, and I haven't come up with a resolve yet. I need to know if he understands of some of spiritual level the difference between death and murder, and what does God say in his scripture about killing, because a lot of people tell me that, say different things. They say that sometimes people get murdered because of what they did in their past life. I've heard that. Then I've heard that nobody dies unless God wants them to die. But I know and believe in the scripture that says that thou shalt not kill, and then there's merciful killing. So I need to know so I can have clarity in my mind about it.
Okay, well, Rashida, hold that thought. And Brother Kareem, while you go and search the scriptures, I'm going to take this last call, and then we'll come to you with that answer to Rashida's question. What is said in the book about, and your understanding about killing and murder? But now we're going to go to area code 314-677. Give us your thoughts, and then we'll get that answer from Kareem.
To your question, can we, of course, I always ask people, what do you mean by we? But the female woman has to respect her own womb before you can expect somebody else to do so. From what I see, many of them don't respect their own womb today. And you're also talking about different cultures in the world. People say take care of your own backyard before you try to make comments on somebody else.
Let me ask you this last question, this quick question. What is it inside a male that would cause him to rape? In other words, forcibly commit an act of sexual intercourse against a woman's will. What is inside a man that would make him do that?
There's no fear of the repercussion from her father, brothers, and uncles. That's why.
Okay, thank you so much, Bianchi. We appreciate your thoughts. I think that there is no belief that there is consequences to behavior to your soul. Mm-hmm. Because your soul, if you are aware that you are a part of all of creation, and when you leave this body, you are faced with all that you've done, you will never want to do anything to violate your own soul by violating another. And I think if that is taught and that's understood on the deepest level, then we would be safe from anybody's mistreatment of anybody. If oneness was understood and you understand that you're going to see and feel what you did to someone once you leave here, I think if that was taught and understood, that would produce a different society. Let's hear, Brother Kareem. We got a couple of minutes to answer Rashida's question about life and death. And
I can answer that very succinctly. All matters are judged by intention.
Mm-hmm.
All matters are judged by intention. Almighty God controls life and death. You cannot take my life if it is God's will that I live, that I live. If you attempt to take my life with the intent to kill me, then God judges that act, whether you're successful or not, by your intention, and you shall pay for that intention. Almighty God shall exact the consequences of your intent. But no one controls life and death but Almighty God. All matters are judged by intention. There isn't a gun made that can kill me if it is Almighty God's will that I live. So on the subject of life and death, We must adhere to and accept that God controls, only the Creator controls life and death.
Mm.
I hope that answers that question.
I think that is a wonderful answer.
All matters are judged by intentions.
That says it all. Well, we are ready to wrap up, and just wanted to address a couple of things. I think Maika mentioned about other animals who rape, and rape itself is an aberrant behavior. There are animals that, when they're in an unnatural environment, will behave unnaturally. We know the human community, what we've created, is an unnatural environment. There was a problem with elephants, I believe it was in South Africa. Elephants were raping the little white rhinos, the little rhino females, when the hunting of elephants got so severe that they had killed off all of the elder elephants. Then the young elephants just went haywire. There was no control. I believe Pianki said something about when you don't fear the father of the female, but there were no elder elephants to keep the younger elephants in line, and so they became that out of control, barbaric behavior, committing acts of rape against the rhinoceros females. So they had to bring in some bull elephants to establish some order, to establish some authority, to beat down those young bull elephants that were not raised with fathers and therefore were out of control. So I think there is something to be said about the order of how the elders teach the young, but the elders have to teach the young the right way. If the elders are teaching the young how to abuse, then we have a continuation of abuse. So, and I believe Beata said earlier about parents playing a role in the raising of children. We have a responsibility to raise our children to be aware of their soul, and the fact that you violate your own soul when you cause harm to another. They have to have that instilled in them. And like Mama Joyce said, that's and others have said, that's more powerful than any law we can pass. It's got to be the law of God in your heart. And when we can instill that, then we'll see the transformation. And if it's not written in the religion, then we cannot follow it, because we cannot follow anything that is causing harm. And if what's written in the book and has been passed down and changed and retranslated is not in harmony with the law of God that's in our heart, that says you don't violate another being, then we cannot follow it as the law of God. We must pray and get the answer directly from the source and teach it to our children.
Amen.
Thank all of you all for joining us. Thank you, Kareem, and our American Muslim 360 family. Thank you, Mama Joy. We appreciate all of you all. Join us tomorrow for Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And until that time, continue to shine. We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Dziękuję. France, Merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, medasi. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, ngiyabonga. Senegal, geret.
Kenya, Asante, Israel, Toda, Pakistan, Shukriya, Afghanistan, Tashakur, Saudi Arabia, Shukran, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you, and may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.